I want to talk to you this morning about the goodness of God. About the goodness of God. He who spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? I don't know what place you're in at the moment. Maybe you're in a place where you don't feel too comfortable with yourself. You're not comfortable in your own skin. Maybe you've done something you shouldn't have done, said something you shouldn't have said. Maybe you feel like you've let God down, your wife down, your husband down, somebody down. And I want to tell you that the Bible says very clearly that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Him and you know sin became sin for me. Now, this is what qualifies you, because your sins are all forgiven. Your past sins, your present sins, something you may have done today, and what you will do tomorrow. They are forgiven. Him and you know sin became sin for me that I might become, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you are in Him. We are in Him. So as I talk to you this morning about the goodness of God, I want you to have your ears open, your hearts open, your spiritual ears open. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body. Now, that's not talking about in the next life. And that's not talking about in the millennium. That's talking about now. He will also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit who dwells in you. You know, that's one of my favorite scriptures, because when I think of the goodness of God, then this scripture comes to mind. He has given me His Spirit. He's qualified me. We were singing about the righteousness, the robe that He'll be coming in. You already have that robe of righteousness. Him who knew no sin became sin for you that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And to know the goodness of God opens up all sorts of possibilities in our lives. It gives us courage. Gives us confidence, and it lifts our hope. A preacher once said, don't tell the people that God is good too much, because you'll get their hopes up too high. You'll get their expectancy levels too high. But that's exactly where God wants us. He wants our hopes high. He wants our expectancy at a level where we're expecting to hear from God. We're expecting to see signs and wonders and miracles. Because, you know, there's a world out there today that desperately needs to see a church, or the Church of Jesus Christ, operating in the supernatural. You know, Jesus fed the multitudes, and they followed Him a lot of the time but wherever He went, He healed the sick. He cast out devils, and that's part of the Great Commission. Cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. Now, I haven't raised any dead yet. I've cast out a couple of devils. I'd like to cast out a couple more. But it lifts our hope. And hope is a confident expectation of a positive outcome. It provides a good platform for our faith to operate, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is confidence, and it's evidence of things that we haven't yet seen, and our faith will bring it into reality. This confidence this confidence is based on what He has already done through Jesus Christ on the cross. You know that God's going to do, He's not going to do anything else. He's not doing more. He's already done whatever He's going to do. Amen. And He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. Amen. You have an unction from the Holy One. You have an anointing that abides within you. And the Bible says you know all things. You say, but I don't know all things. Yes, you do. You know all things by the Spirit of God, because He knows all things. Have you ever wondered how God knows your thoughts. If you're born again and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you, because God the Father is in heaven, seated at his right hand is Jesus, our advocate, whoever lives to make intercession for us. But the Holy Spirit is in you. So when you wake up in the morning, the first thought you have, the Holy Spirit knows it because he's in touch with you. You're in touch with him. We are connected to the head via the Holy Spirit. Remember that Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. That's how we stay connected. He said, I'm in you and you're in me. I'm in the Father. Believe me. We are connected to God the Father in heaven, who might seem so far away from you by the person, by the vehicle of the Holy Spirit who's on the inside of you. John 3:16, I love the scripture, and it must be a scripture that everybody knows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the goodness of and the love of God expressed right there in that scripture. If we just spoke about John 3:16 for the next half an hour, we'd be talking about the love of God and the goodness of God. We'd be able to explain the love and the goodness of God quite clearly. Knowing the goodness of God makes it easier for you and I to release our faith. Because it would be difficult if I had to think that God is not a good God. See, I want you to do this for a moment. Raise your hands. Say this after me. God is a good God. All the time, God is good. So all the time, God is good to me. Amen. All the time, God is good to you. Makes it easier for us to release our faith and to believe God, to believe his word. Because why would I believe the word of a God who wasn't good to me? Doesn't make sense. If you had a father who lied to you all the time, you would soon fall into distrust of your father, your earthly father. But if you have a father that always says what he says he will do, your faith in him, your hopes will be lifted high, your expectation levels. Dad's coming home, and dad, what dad says is what dad does. And he always does what he says. You know, when David knew all too well the kindness and the mercy and the goodness of God, when he explained, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Yeah, he's celebrating the glorious person of God and his glorious power. And you know, one of the things we don't really have a problem with is the power of God. Every Christian knows that God is omnipotent. Every Christian knows that God is powerful. Every Christian knows that there's nothing that's impossible for God. Where things are impossible with man, they're possible with God. If you can believe, Jesus said, all things are possible. All things are possible. So we don't generally have a problem with the power of God, but sometimes we have a problem with understanding and knowing the goodness of God, because God is a good God. A rich young ruler came to Jesus one day, and he said to him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? There is one but good, and that is God. So Jesus was testing to see if he could recognize, if this rich young ruler was recognizing God in him. Why do you call me good? Only God is good. We are good in God, but we're not good on our own. We are the righteousness of Christ in Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but not on our own. It's his righteousness, his goodness. Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that is God our Father. You know, if I'm not in a good place or things aren't going well and working for me, I've often heard Christians, they think they're doing God a favor by blaming God for their negative circumstances. Because God's trying to teach me something. No, we've got the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to teach us. We don't need negative things to teach us anything. Now, it's true you can learn in a negative situation. It's true you can learn when something goes wrong. And sometimes what will happen when something goes wrong or hasn't worked out according to your plan, you might humble yourself a little bit more and you might develop a teachable spirit and incline your ear to his sayings a little bit more. And so you will learn from that, hopefully, because I don't want to make the same stupid mistakes over and over and over and over. To do the same thing over and over and over is insane. I need to learn when I've made mistakes. Amen? So when things are not going our way or things don't seem to be good, that's not the time to blame God. You're not doing him a favor. God is good all the time. God doesn't get glory out of your negative situation. You know, there was a movie, years ago, I'm giving my age away now, there was a movie, what do they call these sitcoms? Maud. And Maud was a funny old duck. But she used to say this, God's going to get you. And the audience would roar with laughter. So what was she doing? See, that's what Hollywood have been doing for the last 50, 60 years. They've been projecting an image of God that is not true, that is not real. God's going to get you. Why was God going to get you? The only thing God's going to get you for is eternal life. God's already got you through Jesus Christ because he loves you. So every time somebody would do something to her and every time somebody would do something wrong, she would say, God's going to get you, and everybody, and so would burst out laughing. And that's what happens in the world. They project a negative image and picture of God. It's the thief that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The Amplified Bible says, superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. Superabundant in superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. God has a plan for you. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Not of evil, but of good, to give you a future and a hope. To give you a future. God's thinking about your future. And because he's a good God, he's got a good plan for your life. He's got hope for your life. Hope always deals with the future. So let's start with changing our attitude about the way God is. God is good all the time. Let's have an attitude of gratitude. David had a revelation of the Father's heart, or the heart of Jehovah God. He said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Now, in biblical times, cities had walls and gates all around them. And it was there for their protection, to protect them and their families and to protect their wealth from invading nations. The Bible says a city without walls is broken, or without gates will always be in danger of attack. A city without walls or broken gates will always be in danger of attack. A Christian without gratitude, without the praises of God in his heart, is like a city without gates or walls that are broken down. It's like an open invitation for the enemy. And you know why it's good? And so it's so easy for us to praise and worship God when we know that he's good. And it protects us, just like these walls and gates protected these cities. And that's what Paul was saying in Philippians 4:4. Pray without ceasing, because the devil goes around as a roaring lion. He's looking for a wall that's broken down. He's looking for a gate that's open, seeking those whom he may devour. Who will he devour? Those who don't know. Maybe those who are ignorant. Okay, if we willfully fall into sin, then we become prime targets for the enemy. That goes without saying. Gratitude and knowing the goodness of God protects me and forms a wall of protection around me. And it speaks volumes. That says it's all about him. And this is the thing. When you praise and you worship God because you know that he's good, what it's saying is that it's all about God. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do, what I can't do. It's about what God has already done. It's about what God wants to do. It's about what God's going to do for you next week, next year. in your future. Let's have an attitude of gratitude. The people who knew, you know, in I think it's Psalm 103, verse 7, says the people knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways. He knew his thoughts and his mind. You know that you have the mind of Christ? We have the mind of Christ. Moses knew his ways and his acts. His mind, he knew the heart of God. So we have a role to play over the safety and in the safety of our home and our families, because God has, that's the way God intended to be. God has a plan for you. And God wants you to know that he has a word for you today. He wants to speak to you and he wants to speak through you. That's the reason he says in Proverbs 4 verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence because out of it flows the issues of life. You know, when you have a bad perception or you have a wrong image of God, it's difficult to guard your own heart. Because how will your faith operate? How will you get your hopes up? So what is your and my perception of God today? I want to help you change it. I want you to know that Jesus is the express image of his person. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because Philip said, show us the Father, show us the Father. If you look at Jesus, you'll see a picture of the Father. And you don't see Jesus walking around doing bad or sinning. He says, the evil one comes to me and he finds nothing on me. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And that's why we can say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. So he made known his ways to Moses, but only his acts to the children of Israel. They only saw the miracles that God did. They only saw the provision, and yet that wasn't enough for them, because through an evil heart of unbelief, they refused. You know, unbelief is a choice that you make. They chose not to believe God. So they only saw his acts. Moses knew his ways. They never knew him, but believed having an evil heart, but believe they didn't believe, having an evil heart of unbelief, and they believed that God had led them into the wilderness to kill them. And God said, as you have said about me, so will it be with you. So the word that they heard, the promises that were given to them, the children of Israel, about the promised land, they did not mix it with faith. Because they did not believe that God was a good God. So they complained and murmured against him because they never knew the goodness of God. God is good all the time. And God's goodness was around them all the time. He provided for them. He gave them water out of the flinty rock. He gave them quails and manna every day. You know, if you have a concept of the goodness of God, you'll find it releases even the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when you were born again, if any man be in Christ, the Bible says he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. When you were born again, God deposited into your spirit man everything that you need. That's up to you and I to find out what it is in the Word of God. It's up to you and I to find out what it is and to cultivate it. Because even inside your spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But it's up to you and I to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is basically a picture of God. Love, God is love, the Bible says, and love never fails. God is love. And love never fails. He'll never fail you, never let you down. You'll find that when you have the right mindset about the goodness of God or about who and what God is, you will have a platform from which your faith can operate. And if your faith is working, your needs will be met. That's why it says without faith it's impossible to please God. Because he wants your needs met. God wants to meet your need where you are today, whatever it is that you're going through. If it's in your marriage, if it's in your finances, if it's with your children, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whether it's finances, God doesn't want us poor. You know, if you consider that heaven, God walks on streets paved with gold. Why would he, if he's a good God, want you to go without? I have seen the goodness of God in our lives in the last 5 or 6 years, so much more. It's kind of like it's been multiplied and multiplied. God has looked after us, and we've seen the goodness of God over and over and over and over. And when we came to 3CI, we were overwhelmed as God just worked through the leadership in this church, and we were able to find a place to call our own, to find a place to call our home. And we were made to feel welcome. We experienced the goodness of God. I was barely here a month or two or three, and Rory said to me one day, Butch, what are you doing next week? So I said, well, I'll just check my diary and see if there's a gap in the next 6 months. I had nothing to do. I had nowhere to go and nothing and all day to do it in. And Rory sent me overseas to the conference in Doha, in Qatar, and paid for everything. Gave me a holiday. I mean, doesn't happen. But it does happen. Why? Because God is good. And all the time, God is good. And God's good to me all the time. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm saying, God is good to me today. Lord, what is it you want to tell me today? What is it you want to show me today? What is it you want to be for me today? See, what are you expecting? What are you expecting from God? Are you expecting that scepter of righteousness to come down and blot your little number out when you make a mistake? That's not God. It's the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God is a good God. I want to tell you a story. We had a woman in our church, Anki and Peter. And she was promised a baby. She was a middle-aged woman. She wanted to have another baby. I think she already had two. She wanted to have another child. Now, I think when a woman's over 40 and she wants to have a child, she's got guts. Or she knows the goodness of God. Am I right? Am I getting it right so far? So she wanted the baby. Who prayed for her? Oh, okay. Anyway, Vaynant was also a miracle child. So there was another one after that. But anyway, Vaynant was the little baby, and he was 18 months old. And she was at home one day, and she was hanging out the washing, and the telephone rang, and she ran to answer the telephone. And when she came back, she found her baby upside down in a bucket of water. Drowned. Is that a nice picture? Dead. Well, she grabbed him, pulled him out, and I don't know how, if she revived him and got him breathing again, but she didn't know how long he had been in there, but he'd fallen into about so much water in the bucket. His little body falling in the bucket. She phoned me. She was in our church. She phoned me, and when you're in ministry, you always need to expect the unexpected. And she told me what had happened. And she asked me to pray. Oh, yes, meet me at the hospital and pray. And I prayed with her over the phone, and meet me at the hospital. And none of her neighbors were at home. So it took her about a half an hour to get someone to help her to get the baby to the hospital. And off they went to the hospital. So once he was in hospital, they put him into the ICU. And all the plugs and the cables and the cords and the whatever they put onto them. And the doctors gave their prognosis and said, if this child lives, he will be blind. Or he'll be lame, probably on the one side of his body. And we went to the hospital with them every day, and she wanted to believe God, and she was holding on to the goodness of God. She wanted to believe God, and so after 2-3 days of praying and being at the hospital all day and just praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, just trusting God, holding on, Lord, we want a miracle, we need a miracle, we're looking for a miracle. After about 3 days, she was so tired of spending time at the hospital, she said, I'm going home and I'm trusting God to do what he has to do. Amen. And she went home, and that night before she went to sleep, she realized that being at the hospital wasn't going to change the situation. That doesn't change God. God is good all the time, whether you're at the hospital or not. And during the night, she got up, and she was in her lounge, and she decided to, Father, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. And she started to dance around the coffee table in her lounge, and she started to praise, and she started to worship God. And she was praising and worshiping God for her child. She was praising and worshiping God for her child. And here's the deal. Because God is a good God, God heard what was happening here. Something started to happen. So anyway, she was praising, and that was a sacrifice of praise that she was giving. She didn't feel like it. She didn't want to do it. She felt she has lost her child. The doctor's reports were just bombarding her and her husband all the time, and he was just kind of like going along for the ride. Old Peter, he didn't know what was happening. He was kind of just staying there. Anyway, the next day, nothing happened. No change. I think on the Saturday, I was there again with them, and Peter said to me, now, you are going into the ICU with me. He says to me, okay. Takes me into the ICU, into the ward. And there's this boy and there's the machine, little heartbeat, registering his brain. His brain was swollen to know all over, you know, beyond almost recognition. The brain was swollen. His little heartbeat was blipping away there. And Peter said, now you're going to pray for my son and God's going to heal him. So I want to ask you a question. How ready are you to pray for somebody in a desperate situation? Or do you have to first run home to go and get ready? First go and run home to go and read your Bible. First go and run home, but no, I didn't pray, so I need to pray. That's why you need to be prepared every single day of your life. Be ready, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Be ready. So I went in and I prayed for him. And when I prayed for him, the machines just went bonkers. They went haywire. His brain pressure rose, didn't come down. The machine that was measuring his brain pressure rose. And his little heartbeat went up and all sorts of things. And Peter said, what's happening? What's happening? Now he's asking me. I'm not a doctor. I'm a preacher. What's happening? What's happening? And he grabs my arm. I said to him, God's healing your son. That's what's happening, because that's all I knew to say. God's healing your son. This is now 6 days from the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we're looking, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and I said, God's healing your son right now. And I'd laid hands on him just before all this commotion started. And we were looking at each other, and nothing was changing. And then after about 4 or 5 minutes, all of a sudden, this little child lying there with his little nappy on, opened one eye. And he looked around with his arms outstretched. No, he didn't. He looked around and he saw his father. And he said, Daddy! Could speak, could recognize. And his other eye opened. So we saw a miracle unfold right before our eyes. God is a good God. On the Monday morning, I was at my house. A car pulled up my driveway. Our kitchen door was on our driveway. We stayed in a place called Rietfontein on the other side of town. It's on the dark side of the moon. And I saw this car pull up. The Mercedes pulled up there. And standing on the back seat with the window half open was this little boy. Standing up. I promise you, that child is a gifted child today. He's a praise and worship leader. He's been serving God. He can play about 5 or 6 different instruments. And he had brain damage. He was going to be blind and he was going to be paralyzed. That is the goodness of God. So that is why it's important for you and I to know that God is good all the time. So when you are faced with a crisis, and when you are faced with something that's beyond your means, you know you can turn to a good father. You see, God makes miracles happen when you make them happen. If we had just left it and he's left me inside there, that child may have been a vegetable today. Probably would have been. Because that was the doctor's diagnosis or prognosis, whatever you want to call it. That's what was going to happen. But because we went in, pray for my son. You're going to raise him up today. That child playing five different instruments, a praise and worship leader. He makes his own music. He's a songwriter. He's just been an absolute blessing because of, you know why? Because somebody believed in the goodness of God. Say this again after me. God is a good God. All the time, God is good. And all the time, God is good to me. I want you to tell you, that's all you remember when you leave here today. That when you leave, God is good to you. You don't have to impress him. You don't have to beg him. You need to praise him. You need to have an attitude of gratitude. Because that gives your faith a platform to operate from. Worshiping God. Why? Because it's saying what God is. We worship a God. We raise our hands. We prepare songs and music and sermons. And we stand before you. And we don't even see this God that we are worshiping. Because we've moved past believing. We know that God is good. One quick little story. I was with a friend of mine where I stay, and he's a building contractor. And I said to him, "So, how's business?" He said, "Yeah, it's hectic, you know, it's end of the year. We're busy trying to finish off and all the rest, blah, blah, blah." I said, "And what have you got for next year?" He says, "Well, I got a couple of small things happening next year." He says, "But I know that something will come through." And this guy's not even a particularly spiritual dude. But when he said, "And I know that God will come through for me," I remembered every single year, because I've known him for 30 years, every single year at the beginning of the year, how God has just miraculously come through for him. And he's gotten to the stage where he just says, "I've moved past just believing. I know. I have a revelation. I know that something will happen. God will make something happen and work will come my way." So, and I just, when he said, "I know something will happen," it just hit my spirit, man. And I just realized we need to get to the place where we know that God is good all the time, and that all the time God is good. And you need to know, and I need to know, that today will be a better day than tomorrow. And next week will be a better week than last week. And next year coming, God's going to give us, because his mercies are new every morning. Let's close our eyes and pray. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord, unto us. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord, unto us. You are a good God, Father. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. For your mercies are new every morning. Great, great, great is your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you are revealing your goodness to us. Thank you that you open up the eyes of our understanding, that you grant to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. That we may be partakers of the divine nature. We give you praise and glory and honor. Jesus' name.